goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Self-control, that's the key, that's the answer. Richard Walters has described self-control as follows. Self-control is managing our attitudes, feelings, and actions so they serve our long-term best interests and those of others. Self-control comes to people who learn discipline and social skills. It increases in those who accept God's grace in their lives and who seek to know and apply truth in a disciplined manner. The best synonym for self-control is discipline. Interesting word, self-control. We use it often, but rarely analyze it, even when we come across it in the Bible. Self-control means inner strength. This word, self-control, is a compound of two Greek words, which literally means strength in or inner strength and power. It speaks of one who has power and mastery over his or her desires, particularly over sensual appetites. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control frees us from slavery. Self-control stops bad habits. It checks us. It halts us. When it comes to retaliation, self-control restrains us. Without it, we gear up to get even. Esther's story is a natural for a discussion of retaliation. Webster defines retaliation as to repay in kind, to return like for like, to get revenge. Or, as we more commonly say, to get even, to get back at someone. I was just an 11-year-old schoolboy when the Second World War ended, but I remember learning a lifelong lesson in character from one of my heroes, General Douglas MacArthur. At the end of the war, after the surrender was signed, he requested that President Truman allow him to stay in the land of Japan so he could help bring back the dignity of the Japanese people as he assisted them in putting their country back on its feet after our atomic bombs had leveled the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Something in the heart of Douglas MacArthur prompted him to step back into that place of devastation and help those who had been our enemies, while many, or most, in America entertained thoughts of revenge, MacArthur was different. They need a government that works, he suggested. They need their dignity. They need hope. They need new strength to go on and rebuild. That's the opposite of retaliation. One without such a spirit would have said, "Grind their faces into the mud. Keep them from ever becoming a nation again. They need to pay dearly for what they did to us at Pearl Harbor. Let them suffer. They deserve it." This same spirit also illustrated beautifully in the life of Corrie ten Boom, who lost her beloved sister Betsy in a Nazi death camp. She could never forget the face of that brutal guard who had made life so miserable for her and for her family. Years later, as she stood to speak of the love and grace of Christ, she looked out and saw that face in the audience. She described the enormity of feelings that floated up into her heart and the thoughts that entered her mind. As she spoke, she found herself wrestling with rage. By the time she had finished, however, she had come to terms with that human tendency to retaliate, and she spoke to the guard of forgiveness and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph is another who modeled the right spirit when it came to retaliation. His brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. They made life miserable for him. They didn't care if he died and fully expected him to do so. Instead, he wound up prime minister of the land that had food when famine struck every other place. When his brothers arrived seeking aid and good, they did not recognize the prime minister as their brother. And when they did learn his identity, they fully expected death. But Joseph said, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." He not only provided them with food, He invited his father, his brothers, and their families to come and live in the land of Egypt. He, in fact, gave them the choice land of Goshen, which they occupied for over 400 years. No retaliation here, only disciplined self-control. The Jews who were freed in Persia. I've taken a little longer setting the stage for the next scene in Esther's story, but hers is a natural when it comes to the subject of getting even. The Jews in Persia had been living under the sword of Damocles for months. Death drew closer with every sunset. As the weeks and months rolled along, no doubt they began to see the sneers and hear the sarcastic remarks and experience the growing anti-Semitic mistreatment that had begun with Haman. Those Gentiles licked their chops, looking forward to wiping out the Jews. It was an extermination plot of the worst kind